Hey, Reach Paramount, welcome to our podcast. We really hope this message encourages and challenges you as you walk with the Lord every day. Enjoy this message.
Happy Resurrection Day. I said, Happy Resurrection Day. In fact, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you're in the right place at the right time, right now. And so we welcome everyone, all the family and friends that are here today on this great Resurrection Day. We're just so happy that you're here. We had two services earlier today, one at 7:30, one at 9. And so you guys are at the 11 o'clock. You guys have been up a while now, right? I tell people, you can't make it to 11. Something's wrong. I don't know what to tell you. But we're just glad you're here. We have been in a sermon series called Words from the Cross. And we were talking about words that Jesus spoke from the cross that are beneficial for all of us. But because today is Resurrection Sunday, we're going to talk about words after the cross. After Jesus died and rose again, the word that he spoke. And so we see some of the first word that he spoke right after to his disciples. His disciples were afraid. They were hiding out. The women went to the tomb, as you know, and they discovered that Jesus was no longer there. And Jesus told them, go back, tell my disciples that I've risen again. And many of them were still kind of in disbelief, weren't sure that he'd risen again. So we pick up the story here in Luke chapter 24, verse 36 of the Word of God. And it says this, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hand and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? How many know if you've been dead 3 days, you're hungry. You haven't ate 3 days. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. Here we go, fish tacos already. And he took it, he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So it had been prophesied 1,000 years ago, thousands and thousands of years, that Jesus would be born, he would die and rise again. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Then he said, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. So let's pray as we get ready to dive into this message. So, Father, I thank you for every person that's in this room. Lord, you know where they're at. You know their name. You know everything about them. But God, I pray that the word of God would speak into their spirit today. Whatever condition they're in right now, spiritually, mentally, physically, I pray that the word of God would come true in their hearts today. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit as I declare your word, because your word applies to us today. And let the people hear the voice behind the voice. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So I'm going to have you take a little quiz, if you guys can just be honest. How many honest people we have here today? If we could be a little honest today. How many of you have ever locked yourself out of your car or home? All right. There were more honest people at 9 o'clock. How many have ever locked themselves out of their car or home? All right. We get a little bit more honesty here now. How many of you have ever, before there was, you know, navigational maps on your phone, how many have ever got lost? You were driving, you got lost. And I know for some of you men, your pride, come on, we got lost. You didn't want to stop at the gas station and ask for direction. I've been there. How many, now this is a real hard one, how many have ever been in a public bathroom stall without toilet paper? Okay, don't shake these people's hands. I would not be shaking their hands if I were you. And if you're a Christian, you know you rolled an extra toilet paper to the guy next to you to help him out a little bit. But in every case, someone helped you. In every case, you were rescued. Somebody came to save the day, hopefully, especially those with toilet paper. Hopefully, somebody came to save the day. But believe it or not, there's a lot of rescue themes in some of the greatest movies that we've ever watched. There's so many movies out there. But some of the movies that are more popular and actually have done great at the box office have been movies based on rescues. If you've ever seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, Apollo 13, Armageddon, Mission Impossible, or a more serious movie, Schindler's List, these all have rescue themes to good movies. You know, it could be a disaster that's going to happen, and at the end, someone comes to the rescue. In fact, the four highest grossing movies in history have been really rescue movies. Titanic, Avatar, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. These are all having to do with being rescued, or planets being rescued, or people being rescued. But the greatest book of rescue is the Word of God, the Bible. And if you've ever read the Bible, or you're not familiar with the Bible, you'll see that it's really a story of fascinating rescues. I mean, when Adam and Eve blew it for all of us, God had to get it in the rescue mode. And he rescued Abraham, he rescued Noah, he rescued Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Jacob, Esther, rescued the people of God. In fact, over and over in Scripture, God rescued the people of Israel over and over again. And in fact, in this church, we have a lot of rescue stories. If you go on our YouTube channel, Reach Church Paramount on our YouTube channel or on our website, we have rescue stories called My Story. And these are testimonies of people whose lives have been rescued by Jesus. They were lost and bound, and Jesus rescued them. In fact, we just featured one with Sister Marlene Aguilar. She just came on, and you can hear her story. And if you watch it, you'll find the things that she went through and how God saved her. A lot of things I didn't know about this until I was watching it, and it was really, really powerful. And yet, the greatest rescue, again, is Jesus Christ being buried and resurrected from the dead. And we know that you probably, if you're into these series of the Justice League and the DC Comics stories and all that, these are myths. The real one that saved the day was Jesus. In fact, did you know that the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ actually splits history in half? Have you ever heard of BC and AD? BC means before Christ. AD means Omni or Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And what it's representing here is that whatever day you're born on, whatever year or date or month, it's from the day that Jesus was born. So we're 2024 from the day of Jesus' birth. So literally all of history is based on Jesus and the birth of Christ, and everything he did after that, every year, everything that we do in history is based on that particular day. And so again, when we look in the Word of God, there's a lot of what we call rescue terms. There's words like liberty. There's words like redeem, deliverance, being liberated, being saved, or being set free. And the Bible gives us term after term about God saving us and rescuing us. Look at this scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 5. It says, there is only one God. How many believe that? And Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring us to God. In other words, Jesus came in human form, or God came in human form as Jesus Christ, and Jesus became truly human. In other words, he wasn't a ghost. Remember, he told the disciples, I'm not a ghost. I'm flesh and bone. Here, you can feel me. I'll eat. You can see the hands or the holes in my hands and feet. You can see me eating. So he came to rescue them, and he gave himself to rescue all of us. And in Greek, all of us means All of us, everybody. It means all of us here, the whole bunch. Jesus didn't come just to save a few people, but he came to save all of us. Doesn't matter what background you're from, what your ethnic group, what language you speak. Doesn't matter. Jesus came to save all of us. In fact, the Message Bible in Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus Christ rescues us by offering himself as the sacrifice for our sins. How many know we're all sinners? We've all done wrong. And it says God's plan is that we all experience what? That rescue. So then the question becomes, Jesus comes to rescue us from what? Why do we need rescuing? Why is it that you and I need to be rescued? What is it? The Bible says that all of us are sinners, and so he came to rescue us from our sins. In fact, in Matthew it says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. So many of us say, well, I thought he came to save us from hell and get us into heaven. I believe he did that, and he's doing that, and that is the main reason he came. But there are other reasons why Jesus came to rescue us. And in fact, there's a book called the Book of Psalms in the Bible. And these are psalms that are written by King David. Most of them are written by King David. And these are songs about deliverance, and they're songs about victory. They're songs about being rescued. In fact, if you've seen all these young people down here jumping and celebrating, you say, why are they? Because they've been rescued by God. See, that's why they're celebrating. And I'd rather see them here celebrating than in some nightclub, than in some concert smoking dope. They're here worshiping God and giving praise to their rescuer. They're thankful. That's why we clap. That's why we're singing, because we know that God can rescue us and God can rescue you. So not only does he rescue you from going to hell, but he can rescue you from a lot of other things. In fact, the book of Psalms talks about that. He'll rescue you from depression. He'll rescue you from addiction. He'll rescue you from worry. He'll rescue you from a guilty conscience. He'll rescue you from overwhelming problems. He'll rescue you from the traps and mistakes that sometimes we get ourselves in. How many have ever been in a place where you say, man, I need to get out of this situation. I need to be rescued. Well, God is a rescuer from some of your greatest problems in life. All of us today have had problems. Look at what the book of Psalms says. I think we can all relate to this. In Psalm chapter 25, my problems keep multiplying. Have you ever felt that way? It's like the dust bunnies under your bed. They just don't go away. They keep multiplying, right? It's going from bad to worse. And then he says, I need you, Lord, to rescue me from them all. So Jesus Christ not only came to rescue you from going to hell, but he came to rescue you from a lot of issues that we all deal with every day. In fact, Psalms 18 says he brings me out into a spacious place, not a narrow place, but a spacious place. And he rescued me because he delights in me. In other words, this spacious place is a place of expansion. When God sets you free, he enlarges your opportunities and he enlarges your potential more than you even realize. We don't realize that we're living in a bubble and God wants to open up your life. But we think, like, because we live in Southern California, we think we're living the good life. You ever see people when they think about Southern California? Oh, man, you're living the good life. You know, looking good, feeling good, and you have all the goods. The problem with the good life, it isn't good enough. The good life doesn't satisfy. You can have all the money. You can have all the luxury. You can have all the possessions. You've ever seen all these stars that live in Hollywood and Beverly Hills, and half the time they're in drug rehab because the good life never satisfies. You were not made for the good life. You were made for a better life that only Jesus Christ can give you. He can give you the better life. See, a lot of people say, well, I was just made to grow up, get an education, make money, retire, and die. No, that's existing. That's not living. Jesus came to fulfill your life so that you can have a relationship with him. And so he came to set us free. He came to deliver us. Now, a lot of us say, well, I don't need that. If we didn't need it, Jesus wouldn't have came. Jesus wouldn't have come and die on the cross and give his life if we didn't need to be rescued. You don't realize we all need to be rescued. All of us need to be redeemed. All of us need to be set free. In fact, the Bible says he brings me out in a spacious place and he rescues me. Why? Because he delights in me. Do you know that God actually delights in you? He loves you. Now, you probably heard this. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And a lot of us, we hear it so much, it kind of like gets old, like pass the popcorn. Give me the potato chip. No, God does love you. Not only does God love you, I'll take it a step further. God likes you. Now, how many have relatives? You love them, but you don't necessarily like them. Am I right? Come on, let's be honest. We love our relatives, but not we don't necessarily like. But God actually loves you and he likes you. Now, you might say, well, did he like everything about me? Well, he doesn't like everything that you do, but he still loves you and likes you. He doesn't agree with everything that you do, but he still loves you and likes you. It's like me, if you don't have any grandchildren, just wait till you get your grandchildren. You love them and like them even when they mess up. You think it's cute. The good thing about grandkids is you don't have to raise them. You give them back to their parents. And so they can do whatever they want to do because you love them and you like them. You don't necessarily agree with everything, but you still love them and like them. And I remember when, you know, my children were born, one of the things that I would always be fascinated when they were little babies, I'd go and just watch them in the crib. And I just couldn't believe that this was me and my wife created this baby. And well, I won't get into details of that, but that's how it happened. And I looked at this baby and I just, I can't believe I'm the baby's father and all this. And it would just overwhelm me to see this because of who they are. And God loves you. He cares about you. And here's what the Bible says in Psalms 85. You, Lord, are ready to rescue everyone who worships you. And so I believe today God wants to rescue us. So I'm going to show you a video in just a few moments. And in this video, I'm going to parallel how our lives need to be rescued, just like in this video. The video I'm going to show you took place in 2010 or 2010. And these miners that were in Chile, they got stuck in a mine shaft because it collapsed, and they were at the bottom of this mine shaft, and for 17 days, no one heard from them. They didn't know if they were alive, and so you get to hear this rescue story. So let's go ahead and play that video. All right. It really is a dramatic story and a dramatic rescue. And if you get a chance, I'd recommend get on YouTube, not right now, but because I'm preaching, but later you can get on YouTube and find some of these stories. You'll get to see the detail and all of the work it took for all these men to be rescued. In fact, they even had to get involved. NASA had to get involved to design the capsule. It had to have oxygen the way they did it. There was a lot of millions and millions of dollars went into this rescue attempt. And again, it was done a lot earlier than they thought. Some of the hardest rock in the world in order to drill through this rock was very difficult. I believe they attempted three different types of drills, and they finally got into that one. And of course, you've seen on there, they painted it red and they put a note that there's 33, but they actually say there was 34 because the 34th was God himself that was with them. And I actually got this YouTube from History Channel. They're the only one that really emphasized the prayer. And believe it or not, there was a guy by the name of Jose Enriquez, who was a pastor. He was a working pastor, and he worked in the mine for over 30 years. And he was among the 33 that were trapped. And every day he got these men together to pray. Every day he got together these men to encourage them. Some of these men were not men of faith. And he told them about the Lord and prayed with them. Some of them had broken marriages. Their lives had been broken. They were minors, and by the time they were rescued, many of them, their marriages were healed. Even one man made a proposal to his girlfriend, who he'd been living with all these years, while he was in the tunnel, proposed to her. And by the time they got out, they got married. So that just tells you the power of God and what God can do. Even when you're trapped, God can still rescue you. How many thank God for that? So here's what I want to parallel today in this story is, how do I let Jesus rescue me? Because all of us, believe it or not, we need to be rescued just like these miners. And so write this down if you're taking notes. First, we have to admit that we need rescuing. In other words, God can't rescue people who don't think they need to be rescued. God can't rescue you if you got too much pride to admit that you need to be rescued. In fact, the scripture said that this way, the way David said that in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 70, verse 5, I am in deep trouble, Lord. He's admitting he needs help. Rush to my aid, for only you can help and save me. Another version in Psalm 40, verse 12, he said, I'm a mess. I'm nothing and have nothing. Make something of me. You can do it. You've got what it takes, God. In Psalm 18, 27, you rescue those who are humble. So unless you humble yourself and admit that you need rescuing, God cannot rescue you. Now, let me just use these miners as the example. If 33 of these miners had said, after they had broke through that first drill and made communication with them and said, hey, listen, we're here to rescue you. What if they said, well, you know what? We're okay down here. We've kind of got used to the dark. We're kind of cozy down here. You know, just keep sending us supplies and we don't have to pay taxes down here. We don't have to worry about social media. We don't have to worry about junk mail. We're doing okay. Had they done that, it would have been ludicrous. A lot of us said, man, they're crazy. Here we are trying to rescue them, but they don't think they need rescuing because they feel like they're okay in the dark. There's a lot of people like that that feel they're okay in the dark, and they won't admit that they need rescuing. Number two, we've got to admit that we cannot save ourselves. In other words, there's no way that you can save yourself. You need God. And even King David said in the book of Psalm 62:1, I stand silently before the Lord, waiting for you to rescue me. For salvation comes from you alone. So the only way you're going to experience the salvation of God, the presence of God in your life, is you got to realize you cannot save yourself. The government can't save you. People can't save you. Only God can save you. In fact, Psalm 49, verse 7, I like this in the Message Bible. It says, there's no such thing as the self-rescue. Pulling yourself up by your bootstrap, the cost of rescue is beyond your means. These 33 miners, think about it. If they had to pay for their rescue, they wouldn't have had enough money. It cost millions and millions of dollars. They could not rescue themselves. It was beyond what they can do. Can I tell you, you cannot buy or earn your own salvation. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't pay for it. But thank God, Jesus already paid the price for you on the cross. He stretched out his arm and he died to tell you that I paid the price. Could you imagine if the miners, once they heard the drilling coming through, if they said, well, you know what, we're going to do it ourselves. You guys don't need to try to dig us out. You know, we got some teaspoons, and we're going to just dig ourselves out. How many know that would have been ridiculous? Hey, we're going to do it on ourselves. We're going to do it by ourselves. That's what a lot of people do. They say, well, I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. I'm going to save myself. I'm okay. A lot of people think their own philosophy is going to get them to heaven. Your philosophy doesn't hold water with God. Your ideals of how you're going to make it to heaven on your own don't line up with God. You need God in your life. Only He can save you. And number three, write this down. You have to ask Jesus to save you. No one else can save you but Jesus. Psalm 91 says this, when you call on me, God says, I will answer you and I will be with you in your trouble, and what? And I will rescue you. Think about this. Is there anything that God cannot do? Yes, yes, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. In other words, there's a lot of things that people will do, but God cannot do. He cannot lie. And I will tell you this, that God will never go against his nature. In other words, God is love and he'll always love you. And here's what the scripture says in Romans chapter 10. It says, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So God will do his part. He does the rescuing, but you got to call upon him. Only Jesus can save your soul. Only Jesus can rescue you. What? See, here's the thing about being rescued. The rescuer gets to determine the means and the method of how you get rescued, not the victim. What if the rescuers would have said, well, you know what? We don't want to get in that capsule. We're not. It kind of looks uncomfortable. You know what? We'd rather stay in this pit. You know, can you guys figure out another way? There's got to be like another way. I mean, no, that would have been arrogant. That would have been very arrogant had they been saying, well, you know, we want to be rescued this way. See, those that are being rescued don't get to determine how to be rescued. The rescuer determines that. But it's arrogant of us to think that we can save ourselves, that we have a better way, that we know how to do it. You know what Jesus said in John 14, 6? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one come to the Father but by me. There's only one way, and that's Jesus' way. It's not your way. You don't determine how you get saved. It's only one way. How many remember using phone booths? Anybody remember phone booths? Yeah, you're old. How many of you remember the phone booth when you had to dial? That's before the push button. You actually, now you're really old if you remember the dialing. But here's the thing about phone booth. There was only one number you had to remember to call home. You had to remember that number. The only way you're going to reach your house was one number. You couldn't call multiple numbers. There was just one number to your house. See, there's only one number, and there's only one person that can save you, and that's Jesus. Number four, write this down, is you have to commit your life to him if you're going to be rescued. You have to be willing to make a commitment. This is what the miners had to do. They came to a point of commitment. They had to commit themselves that they were going to be rescued and commit the method in which they were going to be rescued. The only way they could be rescued is they had to get in that capsule. They had to be willing to trust that the rescuer was going to pull them up. They had to make a commitment and say, we're going to get in that little capsule and we're going to trust that we're going to be rescued. In fact, Psalms 31:5 says, I commit my spirit into your hands. Rescue me, Lord, for you are faithful. It was 2,000 feet under. They had to trust that they were going to be pulled up. They had the trust that, you know what, they were going to do. Even though they couldn't see how everything was going to work, all they could see that there was a capsule that came down and they had to get in it, and they had the trust that the rescuers were going to pull them up. See, there's a lot of people, we have selective trust. Well, I don't trust until I see it. The only time I'm going to trust, I got to see God. There's a lot of things that you trust that you don't see. You don't see airwave, you don't see cellular wave, but yet you pick up your phone with no problem and you dial it. You trust that this phone's going to work. All of you trusted today that when you sat down on those chairs, it was going to hold you up. Some more than others, I won't point it out, but I will say this. I will say this to you. You trusted that we didn't unbolt anything in those chairs. You trusted that when you sat down, that you would it would hold you firm the way it is today. So you don't have to see everything. You didn't have to see every boat. You didn't have to inspect everything. You trust it. Can I tell you, when you trust God, you don't have to see anything. You just have to know that he's there to rescue you. And the last thing is you have to trust him completely. They had to trust their rescuers. That what the method in which they were rescuing them And everyone that was involved, they had to trust them that when they got in that capsule, that they weren't going to get stuck halfway through. That when they got in that capsule, that they weren't going to stop and leave them there. But it was going to be a complete rescue, that they were going to pull them all the way up out of that pit or out of that darkness or out of that shaft that they were stuck in the bottom. They trusted that they would be pulled up completely up. And really, what the picture of the miners is actually a picture of what we're talking about today, Easter, going from death to life, being buried and coming back up. Can you say amen? These miners were buried, and now they were hopeless. But how many know when God rescues you, he restores your hope? God can rescue you no matter how dark it is today. So all of us, believe it or not, are like these miners. We're in the dark. We're in the pit. We're trapped in the mine shaft, and a lot of us don't know it. And God's trying to send you a message. And could it be today that you came to hear this message because God says, I want to rescue you today? Could it be that Jesus is trying to send you a message today and let you know I'm the only one that can rescue you? You can't rescue yourself. You can't get yourself through it. No matter how good you are, no matter how smart you are, you're not good enough to save yourself. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. And let me read you a scripture here today. In Psalm chapter 50, verse 15, trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Psalm 91, 14, if you love me and truly know who I am, I will rescue you and keep you safe. If you'll trust in God today, he'll rescue you from wherever you're at. Here's the wonderful thing that we saw in this video. That after every rescue, the people celebrated. When they came up from that shaft, there was a celebration. 33 miners, if you take some time today to look at some of these videos, each one is celebrated. Each life is celebrated. Each rescue is celebrated. In fact, the Bible tells us that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. Do you realize when you give your life to Christ and you trust him and he rescues you, there's a celebration going on in heaven? In our earlier services, we had many people get rescued. People gave their life to Christ, and there was a celebration not only in heaven, but in this church. We celebrate rescues because we've been rescued. And friend, I can tell you today that God brought you here today. You thought, well, I just came to watch my niece or my grandkids. No, God brought you here because you needed to be rescued. And only he can do it today. And so this Resurrection Sunday is actually a rescue Sunday. So I want to pray for you. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment?
Thanks so much for listening to this message from Reach Church Paramount. To stay connected with us, follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Reach Paramount. To give and support this podcast and ministry, visit our website at reachparamount.com/give.